From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome to Current Sports, 1 p.m. on this snowy Wednesday, February 5th, 2014. Hope your morning went better than mine, at least, because you know what, folks? I walked out and, you know, snow is everywhere. I'm really getting tired of the snow, you know? I mean, who isn't, right? But Michigan is just really hitting us hard. And you know what? There was so much snow. It took me about an extra 10 minutes to get to work today. I had to, you know, brush off my car and whatnot. But on the walk to my car, folks, I'm kind of hurting today because on the walk, I completely just slipped and fell right on my butt, okay? I'm hurting. It was a pretty, you know, I was running a little late. I came out running. And, yeah, I fell straight down. I'm good, though. I'm good, man. I brushed it off, you know, took it like a man. And the point is, be careful out there, folks. Don't try to rush. If you're running a little late, just take your time. It's very slick and slippery out there. And we're going to have to endure a few more days of the cold and snow. Because I tell you what, I'm looking at the extended forecast, and there's no let-up. No let-up. Michigan's not letting up anytime soon. My goodness. But, folks, we have a great show in store for you today. Of course, today is a special day, especially in the world of college and high school football, because it is National Letter of Intent Signing Day. Yes, many football players across, high school football players across the nation are signing their national letters of intent to decide which college they will be taking their athletic talents to. And I tell you what, Michigan State's upcoming recruiting class is pretty impressive, very impressive this season. Of course, I'm sure that has to do a lot with their national success on the big stages of, you know, winning the Big Ten championship and going on to win the Rose Bowl. We will definitely be we'll be diving into that in just a moment. And if you want to call in and share your thoughts on the whole signing day or on anything that's on your noggin, you know the number 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We encourage you all to call in. Again, we have a great show in store for you. And in just a moment, I will be chatting with recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports, Sean Scherr, who definitely knows a thing or two about recruiting. And if you look at his Twitter page right now, it's certainly blowing up with so many recruits and prospects that have signed their national letters of intent with MSU. So we'll be chatting him in just a second. But before we get to all that, as custom here on the show, let's get to your current sports quick hit headliners for this snowy Wednesday. Okay, again, National Letter of Intent Day. They're rolling in by the hour, folks. Just to list a few names that have signed with Michigan State. Matt Morrissey, he signed actually at 10:58 a.m. But he's a wide receiver linebacker from Illinois. Vyontae Copeland, his letter of intent has been received by MSU. He's from Dayton, Ohio. He's a cornerback. Monte Nicholson from Pennsylvania, he signed at 10:08 a.m. He's a great player as well. And you know what? Something that we really dove into yesterday and the day before that was Malik McDowell. Again, his parents did not want Malik to attend MSU, but Malik said, "Hey, I'm still coming, baby." He has verbally committed, but Michigan State has not received his national letter of intent at this time. So McDowell is not yet 18, so one of his parents need to sign it. So no, go figure, right? Go figure. His parents definitely need to sign it. Now, his parents do not want him coming here, so I think that's what the holdup is right there. But he has verbally committed this morning to go to Michigan State. Malik McDowell, a 6'7", 290, the defensive lineman from Southfield High School. So some others, Jalen Watts Jackson from West Bloomfield Orchard Lake St. Mary's High School. His last letter of intent was received at 9:43 a.m. Greg Owens from New Jersey. He's a fullback. Brian Allen. I mean, so many. Again, we're going to be diving into this when we talk to Sean Scherer of 247 Sports, as he is a recruiting analyst. And again, he's been tweeting prospects out left and right. We're going to be diving into that in just a sec. All right, good news, MSU basketball fans. The pain stops. Literally, after missing seven straight games with a sprained right foot that developed after a long bout, that's caused Adrian Payne to sit out for so long. Adrian Payne is said to that, you know, he will play when MSU takes on Penn State this Thursday. So you'll definitely see him out in the court. And, we're not sure how, you know, Tom Izzo didn't allude to how many minutes he will play, but he will play in Thursday's game. So definitely looking forward to that. As far as other Big Ten basketball news goes, Ohio State gets a huge win over Iowa last night. Aaron Kraft for OSU had 17 points with 6 assists and 6 steals to help Ohio State upset the 17th ranked Iowa, 76-69. The final of that one, that's OSU's third win in 4 games. LaQuinton Ross added 13 points for the Buckeyes, who moved back to 500 in the league after starting a surprising just 2-4. Now, Mike Gesel, he had a season-high 16 points to lead the Hawkeyes, who shot just 3-for-20 from three-point range. So OSU with a big win there. All right, Pistons and Magic are tonight. Detroit faces off against the Orlando Magic with a 13-37 record. Tip-off is 7 p.m. at the Amway Center. Now, the Pistons have lost 5 of their last 7, and the Magic have only won 3 games in the year of 2014 thus far. So, supreme basketball tonight, folks. 7 p.m. again. 7 p.m. Pistons and Magic at the Amway Center. All right, former Spartan legend Magic Johnson has agreed to buy a partial stake in the Los Angeles Sparks WNBA team. Now, he teams up with Los Angeles Dodgers chairman Mark Walter in saving the franchise from rumblings of relocation. So, Magic, he always has his hand in so many endeavors. And, you know, this is, you can just add this one to the list. So, again, he has agreed to buy a partial stake in the LA Sparks. Interesting stuff there. And, you know, a former guard, Tracy McGrady, this is another interesting story. T-Mac, who holds records that Kevin Durant has been chasing for quite some time, is now getting off the hardwood and hitting the diamond, the baseball diamond, folks. I kid you not. Tracy McGrady will be a pitcher for the Sugar Land Skeeters of the Atlantic Minor League Division. How about that? Tracy McGrady trying his hand at baseball. And, you know, it's interesting because baseball was actually Tracy's first love. So an interesting backstory to that whole thing. When I'm talking about that, you know, the dynamic of so many athletes who have tried their hands in other sports. I mean, you can go back to Michael Jordan, who also tried his hand at baseball, wasn't very great at it. But, you know, so many try it out. And, you know, we're definitely going to be diving into that for our Barbershop Wednesday segment. So. Also, some thrilling news when you talk about prep basketball, high school basketball from last night. Now, Portland held on to beat Lansing Catholic 48-47 last night, despite 4 late attempts from LC to take the lead. And Holt came back from a huge 24-point halftime deficit against Lansing Everett, but fell short in the final moments for a 75-73 loss in boys basketball. Waverly topped Charlotte 60-48. Marcus Moore, who has been great this season for Waverly, he had 22 points. Burden Bendel, 67. Weberville, 24. Weberville is still looking for their first win of the season, a bad season for them right now. Eastern topped East Lansing 55-51. Owosso top Fowlerville 58-48. Hazlitt top St. John's 50-46, and DeWitt beats Ionia 73-68. So there's some of your local high school boys basketball scores from last night. Olympic gold medalist Sean White has decided to drop out of the inaugural slopestyle competition at the Sochi Games. Now, White, who will now focus solely on his third consecutive gold medal in the halfpipe, was not a gold medal favorite in the slopestyle. Now, he went on to say this: "The difficult decision to forego slopestyle is not one I take lightly, as I know how much effort everyone has to put into holding the slopestyle event for the first time in Olympic history, a history I had planned on being a part of. Now, Sean actually has a wrist injury that he definitely was harping on, is the reason, one of the reasons why he is not partaking in that event. And Bradley Pacquiao, folks, one of the most controversial decisions in recent boxing history, will have a chance to be corrected. Now, Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley are set to take the ring on April 12th in a rematch of a bout Bradley won with an asterisk next to it 2 years ago. Now, the fight, which many thought that Pacquiao had won handily, was awarded to Bradley in a split decision. Now, both fighters view it as a chance to redeem themselves, and this definitely provides that opportunity. Definitely looking forward to that. Again, that's April 12th for that rematch. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And share what's on your noggin. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Also want to remind you all that, you know what, guys, I hit the ice yesterday, and I didn't fall. I didn't fall on ice. That's ironic. I fell this morning on my way to the car, but I didn't fall yesterday at the rink. I went out to the Summit, and we hit the ice rink, Tim Elkins and I, our producer for Current Sports TV, and we met up with Mark McElwee, the president of the Lansing Curling Club, and he showed us a thing or two about curling. Yes, and Mark is my guest for tonight's Current Sports TV taping, folks. And you can be a part of that live audience and get to see me hit the ice and give my shot at the sport of curling, which is it's a really, really fun time, folks. I kid you not. It was a great time. Thanks a lot, Mark, for allowing us to go out there and shoot that. But Mark will be sitting down with me tonight to really dive into the Olympic Games and the sport of curling itself. Tonight at 6 p.m. at the WKAR TV studios. If you want to come on out, brave the cold, and enjoy a fantastic evening with Mark and I and the rest of the audience who will be showing up tonight, you can do so simply by signing up for free at WKAR.org. Again, WKAR.org. Mark McElwee, the president of the Lansing Curling Club. I will be sitting down with him and chatting it up as we prepare for the Olympics, which start this weekend. Cannot wait for that. All right. Well, again, let's get to today's current sports guest. It's National Signing Day, folks, and top football prospects from across the country are signing their national letters of intent, choosing the colleges that they will be taking their gridiron talents to for the upcoming season. And you know this will be a huge signing day for the Michigan State football team, coming off a win, of course, in the Rose Bowl on a national stage. Today, I would like to welcome a man who knows all things recruiting, Sean Scherer. He's a recruiting analyst for 247 Sports. Sean, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Definitely. Now, Sean, I first want to ask you about this whole Malik McDowell situation, announcing this morning that he will be taking his talents to the green and white. Now, were you surprised at his decision, considering the reluctance, if you will, from his parents to not want him to come to East Lansing?
I wasn't surprised at all. If you follow 24/7, we do have crystal ball predictions, and right before Christmas, I got from a good source that McDowell was leaning towards Michigan State as he was headed to head off to Texas for the Army All-American game. And with that information, I collaborated that with another source, and it was enough for me to say that Michigan State was the clear team to beat in the home stretch. So I wasn't shocked at all. And if you ever meet Malik, he's a very mature young man in the way he carries himself. So I wasn't surprised that he was able to stand up to his parents and, you know, make the decision that he did.
Were you surprised at all that, you know, his parents, because you know, looking at the quotes from his mom, she said she had a bad experience here. And, you know, his dad talked about, you know, the social atmosphere and how he didn't want Malik to get caught up in that at Michigan State University. Were you surprised at his parents' comments about MSU in that regard?
I find it, you know, very unprofessional by them to kind of throw a program under the bus in the fashion that they did based on, I mean, what has Michigan State ever done to them besides try to give their child an opportunity to play college football at a BCS level in the Big Ten. So it seems like, especially his mom, was just bitter towards Michigan State. And, I mean, I think it's a note for all parents to take if their children ever go through the recruiting process, don't do this because it just looks bad on all parts.
Right, right. I totally agree with you, Sean. Now, you know, Sean, we actually debated yesterday on, you know, just the role that parents play when it comes to recruiting in general and where their son or daughter takes their talents to on the athletic level and, you know, in college. And, you know, I want to get your just your quick opinion. I mean, how much say should a parent have on whether or not, you know, what school a recruit goes to?
Well, I have two children myself, and, you know, they're very young, but, you know, I always feel you need to let your child make this decision because this is something that they have to live with for the rest of their life. Now, the way I look at it is if you pick the right school, you can consider that to be your alumni and home for life, that you can go back there 10, 15, 50 years from now and still consider that place that you picked home. I feel a lot of times when parents or a third party put themselves in that kid's shoes and start making the decision for them, that I would say more often than not, the parents, when they do influence, cause that prospect to choose the wrong school, and then you see kids that transfer out or don't succeed at that school. So, I feel parents need to realize that, you know, this is their child's decision. This is something that they have to live with. And sometimes you got to let, you know, they might be 17, but this is a decision that they got to live with for the rest of their life.
Right, exactly. You know, I think it's definitely a part of growing up, too. It kind of aids in that transition, you know, from, you know, that high school realm to, you know, being a grown man and going to college. Now, for Malik, Sean, what do you think was the deciding factor for him that really did, you know, really put it, you know, in the slate and said, hey, I'm going to MSU regardless of what anyone thinks?
It's the atmosphere that D'Antonio has created at Michigan State. I met up with Malik about 2 weeks ago, and he pretty much told me that's where he was going. And then off the record, I was just like, so why? I mean, why Michigan State? And he goes, it's just the family atmosphere. It's the coaches. He goes, I feel like I'm at home. And, you know, that's something that D'Antonio has strived for since he, you know, took over the helm of the Michigan State program back in 2007 and really worked to, you know, bring in the prospects that not only will succeed on the field, but off the field. And keep in mind that these players only play, you know, 13 up to 14 games a year, and what they bring to the community, you know, what they bring to that school off the field. So right. I feel it's just the atmosphere that D'Antonio has built in East Lansing. It just rubs off on recruits, and that's what Malik wanted to be part of, and that's why he kept coming back and checking out what Michigan State had to offer.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports, Sean Scherer. Now, Sean, looking at your Twitter feed right now, I mean, you have been updating everyone on the high school players that have putting their, you know, national letters of intent for the Spartans, you know, left and right, currently blowing up right now. Now, what players really stand out in this upcoming class?
You know, I'm going to go with a sleeper pick. And I'm going to go with Montez Sweat out of Georgia. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know D'Antonio and co are notorious for coaching up some of these, you know, lower-rated prospects. But when I watch this kid's film, I see a player that can just – he just has it. You know, like you can just see his knack. He does everything right. And if I had to pick one player that, you know, is probably going to surprise people – you know, I mean, it's easy to be like, oh, yeah, Malik McDowell because he's the highest rated, but I'm going to go with the underdog here because I just see a lot of potential in Montez. And another kid that I think will probably be the first kid to see the field is a player out of Florida, T.J. Harrell. I mean, he was one of the first three players in the 2014 class to ever pick up an offer from Michigan State. And he's just a stud. I mean, in the special teams game, defense or offense, he's just that good of a playmaker that he's going to see the field because he's going to be too good to keep off the field.
Got it. Love that. All right. Well, like, again, we'll definitely be keeping our eyes on those two. Now, any surprises that you weren't expecting to sign to MSU that did?
The only surprise I had is the way Darius Slade kind of handled his recruitment. He originally committed to Nebraska, then called D'Antonio up in Narduzzi and flipped his pick to Michigan State. But per source, what I've learned is his uncle, who has kind of been acting as his agent, said, you're not signing your letter of intent until you take an official to Ohio State. And that caused D'Antonio not to play any games. And, you know, what I've been told is they dropped his scholarship. They're no longer going to recruit him. So that was kind of a surprise because, you know, talking to him this past weekend, you know, writing my stuff for, you know, signing day, I mean, he was all about Michigan State, and kind of see the, his change of mind completely change in 2 days is, you know, it kind of came out of nowhere.
Right.
So, but I like the way the Michigan State staff has went about this and handled themselves and not playing games and wanting to go after players that want to be part of the Michigan State program and, you know, buy into the culture that they've built in East Lansing.
Yeah, you gotta love that. You know, I gotta ask you, Sean. I mean, how would you rank this year's class? Just looking at it right now on paper. Of course, they haven't even stepped on the a gridiron here at MSU. But looking at, you know, this year's class, how would you rank this year's class in comparison to those in the past for MSU?
I would say you'd have to put it up there. Probably D'Antonio's number one or number two class overall. I mean, Michigan State never gets that high, you know, national ranking. But that just proves to the coaching development that the coaches have at Michigan State to take these kids that are rated what they are and, you know, coach them up, you know, to have them compete for Big Ten championships and go out and compete for a Rose Bowl and win a Rose Bowl and win in a BCS game and, you know, have them be in the, you know, talk for a national championship, you know, talk next year. So, I mean, I would rank it, you know, it's a D'Antonio class and the way he goes about is he went out, he got the guys that fit his system, you know, and that might not be number 25, you know, that might be ranked 25 in the nation, but with his coaches and his style and his complex system, he will coach those players up to make sure that Michigan State, you know, stays consistent and, you know, continues to win games the way that he has in years past.
And, Sean, you talk about that domino impact of MSU winning this past Rose Bowl. I mean, what a season it was for the program. How big is it for a program? And just to put that into perspective, for a program, from a recruiting standpoint, to win on a national stage and have that kind of success. I mean, have you talked to recruits and asked them about, you know, what's it like to see MSU on that stage? And did that impact their decision to come here?
I have. To kind of add on top of that, I think it's the BCS games in general that it's kind of like a Izzo, the way he can sell the Final Four. Now D'Antonio has proof in the pudding that, you know, he's reached that BCS. But not only did he reach the BCS, but he also won a BCS game. I mean, I look at a program like West Virginia and the way that they built their program, I felt was off BCS games. Louisville's another program, you know, of recent. But every time you talk to a lot of the kids that Michigan State's offered in the 2015, 2016, and 2017 recruiting class, you can tell that Michigan State achieving a Rose Bowl victory has, you know, a ripple effect in the recruiting classes down the road. You might not see it in the 2014 class because recruiting's so accelerated, but Michigan State's at a record pace offering 2015, 2016, and 2017 kids. I mean, they're changing the recruiting ways, and the ripple effect that they're having is kids are talking about, like, Michigan State winning a Rose Bowl, Michigan State winning BCS games. I mean, they're talking, like, you know, about this whole different dynamic that the Spartan program's never had that is definitely influencing kids, and the cause is having kids that want to visit Michigan State earlier. And now you add an addition, like a recruiting coordinator like Curtis Blackwell, that takes his job serious and treats every kid's unofficial visit as if it was an official visit. Now you have someone in there that's trying to, you know, sell these kids on the program. You're getting kids on campus earlier. You're getting more kids on campus, and you're getting more quality kids on campus that's allowing Michigan State to change the recruiting ways and, you know, projected that, you know, next year in 2015, they should finish with a top 10 recruiting class.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Sean, you just alluded to, you know, my next question. When you talk about Curtis Blackwell and his impact, we're starting to see it very, very soon, especially when he first took the job the first week. I mean, he was already making moves. Now, what made Curtis such a great hire for the program?
It's his relation that he has nationally. I mean, I've known Curtis, you know, going on 5, 6, 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And from the first time I met him, I mean, just the way he welcomed me to cover one of his camps. You know, I'm a young, wide-eyed reporter, you know, never covered a camp on a national stage like that.
Yeah.
And then for him to be like, hey, I got a camp out in Washington, D.C., you're more than welcome to come out there next week and cover it. So it's the relationships that he builds with anyone around him. That's just the type of person. And that has allowed him to have this network system, not only in the state of Michigan, not only in the Midwest, but he has national connections that he knows coaches on top of coaches and, you know, people that help him, you know, like, hey, I got this kid, or hey, you know, and it's allowing him to really make, you know, Michigan State to be able to recruit more on a national level. But first and foremost, he's taking care of the front yard, as D'Antonio refers to recruiting. You know, mm-hmm. Recruiting is your home state is your front yard. You know, he's going to take care of that. So it's, you know, Curtis is just taking Michigan State to recruiting at a whole nother level. And people are going to see that in the 2015, 2016 and beyond classes at Michigan State.
Gotta love that. I've heard nothing but, you know, high praise when you talk about Curtis Blackwell. Now, you know, Sean, besides having a program perform exceptionally well on the national stage, I mean, what do you think are other keys to recruiting that really will these kids in?
As I kind of hit on earlier, just the culture that D'Antonio's created in East Lansing, it being a family atmosphere, the Claire Bell Smith Center and the academic support that the student athletes receive at Michigan State is second to no one in the nation. And just the national championship buzz and the BCS buzz and them, you know, winning games consistently. And then you also have, I mean, the new addition on the north end, and, you know, the brand new locker rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, a recruit sees that and they're like, man, I want to be part of that. So you just see, but I would say the biggest factor is, you look at who Michigan State's targeted in the state of Michigan for the class of 2015, a lot of those kids are just friends. I mean, they're just, you know, they know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they are recruiting each other to come to Michigan State. So for them to come in and get in on some of the kids that they have, I mean, they're doing a lot of the legwork, but Michigan State just laid the groundwork to make it happen.
Yeah, so true. And, you know, before I let you go, Sean, I want to ask you about an interesting conversation I had the other day, you know, with one of my colleagues. I want to talk about, you know, anyone who, if you look at the formula for MSU and the success they've had by just, you know, not getting the major recruits in the past. I mean, you talk about a guy like a Darquez Denard. I mean, he was not highly recruited, you know, coming out of high school. And a lot of people out there are kind of afraid, you know, when you talk about the formula that MSU has built over the years and now going after these top recruits, and they kind of think that recruiting is overrated to a degree. What do you have to say to those who think that?
It's kind of funny you bring that up, because I started with Spartan Tailgate, and this one we were an ESPN affiliate before we were moved to 24/7. And when Darquez committed to Michigan State, it was one of my first stories that I broke on the Red Cedar message board.
Mm-hmm.
And he only had an additional offer from, I believe, New Mexico State and Middle Tennessee State. And a lot of people were, like, bashing me, saying, you know, who is this kid, preferred walk-on, are you sure he has an offer? You know, and it kind of, you know, just speaks volumes of who Mark D'Antonio is as a coach and as a person, for him to be able to go down in Georgia, find a kid like Darquez, and see his full potential. Now you're talking about a kid, you know, and a prospect that's going to be, you know, a top 15 pick in the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think not only recruiting athleticism, but what I see in the Michigan State coaches is they recruit true student athletes and people that want to be part of the Michigan State culture and make an impact not only on the football field, but beyond football in life when they graduate from Michigan State.
Right, that is so true. Sean, before I let you go, we actually have a caller, Norm from Tampa, Florida. Norm, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Very well, very well. Thank you.
Good. You know, I wanted to make a comment about, I'm a Michigan fan, but I wanted to make a comment and let you know that Michigan is in real trouble when it doesn't have a guy like Curtis Blackwell. I knew Curtis Blackwell when he was a little kid. He played at Hampton University. Played at King High School. You're talking about a guy who's a real good rapport with students and, I mean, with players and young guys. His camps have been outstanding. And my kids used to, like you said, play football with Hampton together. So I concur with your guess to say that, Curtis, there's your program right there. That's why Michigan State has been able to do what it said. It's got one hell of a recruit and a guy with a reputation. He knows the guy, okay? And they have a lot of respect. I have a lot of respect for Curtis Blackwell. Unfortunately, he goes for Michigan State, but I can tell you that Michigan's in real trouble with a guy like Curtis Blackwell at Michigan State.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Norm. Appreciate it.
And more importantly, it's 76 degrees here. I want you to know that. I got off the golf course. I played some golf this morning.
Oh, man.
At the USF course there. You know, the sun shining.
I am jealous.
Right now, and there's plenty of light. I do not throw that in there. And I throw that in there, too. You know, I'm sure it's real warm there, too.
Oh, gosh, Norm, you're just rubbing it in our face. He's just rubbing it in our face, Sean. Oh,
my goodness. What's happening up there? Is it cold? Is it snow?
Yeah, we got a lot of that. Well, thanks a lot, Norm, for the call. Appreciate it.
There's that snow. All right, I'll see you.
All right. Yeah, but, I mean, Sean, and you alluded to it, you know, Curtis, I mean, that definitely gives, I think, when you talk about, especially in the state of Michigan, it definitely gives Michigan State a leg up in the competition when it comes to recruiting.
I agree. I mean, and that just shows the proof that, you know, Michigan State's off to the hottest start they are, you know, recruiting juniors in the way that they have. You know, I look at the kid that they just offered out of the state of Michigan, Kyrie Willis out of Jackson Lumen Christi. Mm-hmm. I mean, a player from the Jackson area hasn't committed to Michigan State since 1991, and a guy named, you know, Ronald Anderson. I mean, so for, you know, Curtis to come in and see a guy like Kyrie and be like, wow, you know, this is definitely a BCS prospect that we would like to have part of our program, and to come in and offer him, and, you know, Jackson's an area that hasn't recruited, but the talent's here, just kind of just shows the way that, you know, he's not only, you know, using the resources he has, but he's branching out, you know, and finding new areas that Michigan State hasn't recruited. And I'll tell you one thing about Kyrie. I mean, I saw this kid as a freshman, and I knew he was going to be a stud.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just speaks volumes of just what the Michigan State staff looks for in a student athlete.
Yes, that is so true. Exciting stuff. So, all right, Sean. So, TJ Harrell and Montez Sweat, we will definitely be looking out for those players. Definitely look forward to this upcoming class again that is really making some national attention. Sean Scherer, recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports. Appreciate your time, Sean. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, guys. And you guys stay warm in that studio.
Yeah, I don't plan on going outside until 3 o'clock. So, well, that's right around the corner. But thanks a lot, Sean.
All right, take it easy.
All right. All right, ladies and gents, again, we are opening up our phone lines throughout this entire show, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls on anything that's on your noggin, including National Letter of Intent Signing Day. Yes, Antonio will actually be releasing his entire class in a presser today at 3 o'clock. Current Sports will be there, and we'll bring in that to you tomorrow, and you'll get to hear what D'Antonio thinks about his upcoming class. So definitely looking forward to that. All right, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we will talk about OSU in Iowa and also some more recruiting news and Barbershop Wednesday. We got a lot to get to. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, Saturday Night Live's Lorne Michaels is about to control NBC's comedy like never before, as Jimmy Fallon takes over The Tonight Show and Seth Meyers takes over Late Night. So what do we know about Lorne Michaels? That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 o'clock.
I'm WKAR's Mark Bayshore. 7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat. From government to the arts, sports to education, from business to travel, it's all got a home. It's Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 FM and at noon on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And yes, this is a big day when you talk about recruiting. It is National Signing Day. Many football players, high school football players from across the nation, are signing their national letters of intent and letting everyone know where they will be playing their athletic careers in the world of college. So interesting stuff. We just finished talking with Sean Scherer, recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports. If you follow him on Twitter, I mean, he's tweeting out recruits left and right who will be taking their talents to the green and white. And Alex, I know you love recruiting, man. Get your blood boiling. I want to get your thoughts on this year's class. Have you gotten a chance to look at some of the players who and what players stand out to you, Alex?
Yeah, I actually agree a lot with what Sean said about some of the players. Another guy, aside from TJ Harrell, who I think is going to make a pretty good impact, is Deion Drake. It's very rare for Michigan State to swoo a technician from a Michigan program. And obviously the Curtis Blackwell – The Curtis Blackwell hiring definitely helps with that. This is a guy who's been on a lot of different media. I know he's not really highly ranked when it comes to recruiting, but this is a Big Ten prototypical linebacker. You're talking 6'1", 215 frame. He runs a pretty decent 40 time. This is a guy who probably, when it comes to Michigan State linebackers, is graduating a lot of guys. This is a guy who I think can step in sophomore year and maybe see the field, depending on how he does. But other than that, I mean, they got a guy named Gerald Owens, who's more of a fullback, who's going to be make a pretty big impact. I mean, he's 266, 6'1". So he's another guy. He's ranked number 4 at his position. He's another guy I think that can come in that fullback position and really make a pretty big impact. If you remember Nico Palazzetti, who had a pretty big role earlier on before he was injured, he was going to have a lot of hype behind him. But I think Gerald Owens is another guy who can step in right away alongside with T.J. Harrell and maybe see the field early.
How would you rank this year's recruiting class?
It's definitely up there. I've never seen, aside from when they got Lawrence Thomas, LT, I've never seen a really highly ranked national recruit to Michigan State with so much drama. So
the drama, huh?
The drama behind it is just great. But also, it's very rare to see a lot of highly ranked players sign last minute. Craig Evans, T.J. Harrell, Jamarco Jones was even rumored to be a last-minute Spartan. So I've never seen this much hype for me over the last 5-10 years myself, because I've been following recruiting for a while now. I've never seen as much national hype behind Michigan State in years. So it's going to carry over next year, too. The Rose Bowl performance definitely helps. And like you said, Kerry Willis is a guy from Jackson who's never committed. They've never had a Jackson high school player commit in years. So it just shows that the tables are turning when it comes to recruiting, and Michigan State is now getting these guys in the national spotlight that will be looking at Michigan State. So
yeah, definitely. I think their performance, especially, you know, when you talk about losing so many seniors, specifically on the defensive end, I mean, you know, guys like Bulla, Denar, Danikos, I mean, those guys now being gone, I was really looking to see, you know, as far as the defensive end goes, what this year's recruiting class will look like. And now, you know, landing these top recruits, it definitely has a lot to do with the national perception that MSU now has. I mean, when you come off a Rose Bowl win, you're on national TV. I mean, everyone's seeing the success of the program. I mean, that kind of aura just does something positive for a program. We're starting to see that come to fruition, and it helps when you got a guy like Curtis Blackwell, who I've never met the guy before. We got to get him on the show pretty soon, but he seems, you know, just like a gem. MSU has themselves a gem right now, who really has a great connection, you know, when it comes to Michigan at high school athletics and the game of football, but also nationally as well. I mean, you just heard from Sean. I mean, that right there does it for me. So
yeah, it's like, you know, they're kind of, as far as this recruiting class, it's kind of like breaking through that glass ceiling, so to speak, you know, because this is the last domino to fall. You and Sean talked about the dominoes, and this is kind of the last one, because they've had success on the field. They've built the program up on the field, but, you know, in 2014, winning on the field apparently is not enough anymore, because all anyone says when you look at the record last year is, well, what are they going to do in the future when they lose all the players? They're not recruiting as well as a Michigan or an Ohio State. If they can make some noise on the recruiting trail too, it's just an undeniable, you know, example of the momentum that the program is building. I mean, they're right. Clearly moving in the right direction. We've already seen results on the field. If they can sustain it, I think that maybe moves them up a notch, another notch, to where they are a nationally relevant program, where they are, you know, in the conversation every year. And that's going to get more and more important as they move into the playoff system, where, you know, maybe a loss doesn't totally knock you out of the national championship hunt. Maybe, right. You know, if you're starting the year highly ranked, you have a lot better chance of staying highly ranked. So I think, you know, recruiting, as much as I don't really care for it.
Oh, I hate it.
I know you hate it, too.
Oh, I hate this day.
I think it's way overblown, but when you have this success, I mean, that's just one less thing that rival programs can point to that makes, you know, your school or your program inferior. You know, if you're, you know, recruiting with the best of them anyway, and you're already winning games on the field, it's undeniable the success and the steps that this program has taken since D'Antonio's gotten here.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, it's really quite amazing to see what, you know, this, where this program is right now. And, you know, guys, something that's interesting that Sean and I talked about, you know, just that, you know, you talk about that domino effect and being on the national stage and whatnot. But you know what? Looking at, you know, the formula that Michigan State has had when it comes to recruiting in the past, I mean, they have not done bad. I mean, we're talking about a team that's just coming off a Rose Bowl win. You got guys like, you know, that weren't highly touted. I always go to Darkwes Denard because I love his story. Not highly recruited at all, and he goes to winning, you know, the award for the top CB in the entire nation. I mean, that right there is unbelievable. And, you know, it'll be interesting for me. And Alex, I don't know if, you know, when you talk about, you know, just getting away from that formula of not always going after, I guess, the top guys who are ranked, you know, the 5-star recruits, the 4-star recruits.
Now that's going to come. It's going to come now.
But this is the point I want to make, though, because sometimes, though, you can find gems in a 2-star recruit or a 1-star recruit.
Darkwes, exactly.
Exactly, you know what I mean? So totally getting away from that formula, even though they have the means to do it now because this program has been seen, you know, with this type of success it's had. But do you want to fully get away from that formula of just going after the top dogs and kind of just, you know, if we can get a, you know, can fit in a 2- or 3-star recruit here and there, we'll get them. But getting away from that formula that they've really been successful with these past few years.
Yeah, no, it's a great topic for debate. I just think that the good PR answer to that is they're going to make their own evaluation and then go from there. If a top dog has what it takes to play Michigan State, they'll get him. If a 3-star, an unranked 3-star has it, what it takes to play Michigan State, they'll get him. But the out-of-state recruiting over the past 2 years has been astonishing. I think it's a lot with Narduzzi and Burton doing a lot with visits. They've made a majority of the visits on the defensive end. But Blackwell, I mean, I know he graduated from Baylor.
Yeah, I think Blackwell knows what he's doing. I don't think he would totally abandon just going, you know, finding those gyms that are not really looked at highly like other recruits, because you can find a lot of success in that, and Michigan State has proven that over the years.
Yeah, but Blackwell literally runs in-state. Like, from all the youth football camps that he does in-state, he runs the state of Michigan when it comes to recruiting. From all the work he did at McKenzie to Martin Luther King, that's his ground. The out-of-state, I think that's more of maybe some Narduzzi connections. I think maybe some Burton or Funken. I don't know who it is who has these connections to Georgia.
Well, I know Narduzzi, definitely. He travels a lot and is on the road a lot. He does a lot of the out-of-state.
Right, but, and I know Blackwell might have a couple connections
to
Texas.
Yeah, he's got a couple
Virginia
connections, too.
Maybe.
You just heard it from Sean. I mean, he has connections everywhere, you know, it seems like, which is great. So, but yeah, I mean, Matt, just getting your thoughts really quickly on that, just totally abandoning that, you know, that the formula that has made this program successful. I mean, I would still like to see an even mix between top recruits and also ones that, you know, you know, have a question mark around him.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, you talk about Denard, and, I mean, you can even go to – look. I mean, look at Kirk Cousins.
Right,
you
exactly.
Know, and he was, you know, not very highly thought of. Connor Cook, another two-star recruit. I mean, it's mm-hmm. – it. I think they're still going to, you know, turn over every stone, but now they have access to way more ground.
It opens,
you
know, the floodgates.
Exactly. You know, it's not like – you know, because before, I feel like – probably they wouldn't even try to go after some of these guys, and now it just opens the door, and they have you know, more access to more players. I think they're still going to evaluate players and prospects to their program, and that's mm-hmm. what has been the biggest thing. It's not, you don't have to go after a guy just because he has a certain star rating or he's, you know, this ranking in his state or at his position. Does he fit what you're trying to do? And does he fit what Michigan State's trying to do? That's what they've emphasized. That's what's worked for them. I think they're still going to do that.
Right.
But now they just have access to, I guess, a higher – I don't want to say a higher level of athlete, but just a higher prospect, that's for sure.
A higher prospect,
I mean,
exactly.
It's – I think it can do nothing but good things.
Right.
I think if you – maybe if you do get kind of blinded by the star power, then it could be negative. But I think, you know, when you look at what this program has done and how they've built it, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see it either. You know, it's so funny, though. I was looking at, you know, just recruiting statistics over the years. I mean, and the teams who have the highest recruiting classes, I mean, it's come to fruition where they go the farthest in those BCSs. They raise the national championship trophies. I mean, you look at 2 years ago, Florida State had the number one recruiting class, and now look at them, you know, raising the national trophy. So it definitely means a lot. Not to diminish it at all. Alex, I just hate this day. I don't know. All right, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Malik McDowell. And as, you know, were we surprised at all on his decision to come to Michigan State despite his parents' opinion on the school? And also talk about Tracy McGrady, a little bit, and athletes who try to dip and dabble in other sports. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
On the next Fresh Air, Tim Gunn of Project Runway and the new show, Under the Gun. Although he's now a confident mentor, he had a difficult adolescence. He stuttered, he was in denial about being gay, and he was often bullied. When he was 17, he tried to kill himself. We'll talk about his life and, of course, about fashion. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, guys, you know, something really interesting. You know, we talk about this whole recruiting fiasco, and you talk about, Alex, use the word drama, if you will. Specifically, there's been a lot of drama concerning Malik McDowell over these past few days simply because his parents didn't want him to come to MSU. Now, he verbally committed this morning. He verbally committed. The papers have not been signed by his parents. Of course, he's under 18. So he can't alone, you know, he can't get away with just signing his signature. He needs the signature of a parental guardian, which being his parents. Now, they have not signed. I assume they're going to. I mean, he's already verbally committed to MSU. I'm sure they're going to give in. If they don't, that'd be kind of crazy if you ask me. But were you guys surprised that he signed with MSU?
I was, because committed? Regardless of the record of Michigan, he grew up a Michigan fan. And that's the bottom line is Jabril Peppers went to Michigan because he grew up a Michigan fan. You've seen it with a lot of other in-state players that went to Michigan. They grew up Michigan fans. I think it's very rare to have a Michigan fan with a Michigan offer come to a team like Michigan State. Maybe it was Curtis Blackwell influence because of all the sound body mind camps. Maybe it was because the record. Who knows? But I was very surprised that he came to Michigan State because not only was he rumored a Michigan guy, but typically when you compare the type of college towns and lifestyles, Michigan – centered around Ann Arbor. Columbus, centered around Ohio State, centered around the city of Columbus. Michigan State is more centered around its separate college town of East Lansing. There's not really a city behind it. And it's a very different lifestyle when it comes to more of campus life. And that has to play some factor for him. But I imagine that just just the record, just the Curtis Blackwell influence, just the family atmosphere, like you said. I'm sure it was very difficult for him to sway that pastime of his and growing up. But, yeah, no, I was surprised. I don't know about you.
I definitely – well, you know what? When looking at this specific recruit, when you're talking about Malik McDowell, I mean, a kid who went to Southfield, I mean, that's where Curtis Blackwell is from. So I'm pretty sure that there is some direct influence, heavy influence. You talk about Curtis Blackwell recruiting Malik. I'm pretty sure because they're from the same area. You know, I'm just, you know, it really looking at, you know, his parents and, you know, their views toward MSU, they were so negative. And, you know, and Sean talked about that. They were so negative that, you know, with it being his parents and, you know, his mom's bad experience, quote unquote, while coming here and his dad's view on the party atmosphere here. If anything, I was very proud of Malik for making this decision on his own and saying, okay, even though my parents don't want me to come here, I'm about to be a grown man. I'm about to be in college. I'm making this decision for me, and I'm glad he stood up to that and decided verbally that he's going to come to MSU. If anything, I was proud.
Yeah, but that even has an asterisk that you need a parental guardian to sign it.
It's happened before, yeah. Yeah, it definitely
has. That is an asterisk.
If you look at other, you know, you've heard the horror stories. I think one happened last year where a recruit, nationally touted recruit, wanted to go to some school and his mother said, "If I'm never signing this thing," and actually wanted to press charges and take it to court.
It was like an Alabama LSU.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that this parent was willing to go to that extent to get her decision known that he's not going there. That's craziness to me, you know?
It actually happened again today.
Are you serious? Wow.
Yeah, a kid went to Florida, and his mom in an interview after said, "Well, LSU is still my number one." It just seems like when your kid makes a decision like that,
just let him
whether
be.
You like it or not, you support your kid.
Right, exactly.
I don't know. And as far as am I surprised that McDowell decided to at least verbally commit to Michigan State, I'm not. Because, I mean, as far as Ohio State and Florida State, those are definitely great schools, and I can see where it'd be surprising that he wouldn't go there. But with Michigan, I mean, all you got to do is just use your eyes and look at the programs, the directions they're going in.
Yeah, right,
I mean,
now it's not good.
It's tough to fight, you know, or to, you know, argue against having the number one defense in the country.
And Rose Bowl champion. I mean,
and
that's
Rose
that
Bowl champions.
Now.
I mean, Golston, Worthy,
right.
Petco, they're all in the NFL. I mean,
right.
Some of the things, the reasons they were listing as, you know, not being interested in Michigan State didn't really check out once you did a little research. But as far as him making the decision on his own, his dad today said he was proud of him, regardless of what he chose.
That's
and that
great.
He was proud that he, you know, withstood all of this because it's been a mess. I mean,
oh, it has been a crazy mess.
His mom went on Detroit Sports Talk Radio yesterday.
Really?
interesting 15-minute interview.
15 minutes. That was 15 minutes. Wow.
Yeah, it was an interesting.
And you said she was commenting on the Freep article yesterday from Rex Road. Oh, my God. She was going all out. She was petitioning.
It just it seems like it got the better of that family. Just the whole recruiting bonanza.
Yeah. I want to break it down real quick. For me, there's about five aspects that are probably the most important for a recruit choosing between a Michigan State, or a Big Ten school. Number one is coach prestige. Hoke or D'Antonio? For me, that's what set it apart was D'Antonio. Hoke's very new to the scene. Number two, pro potential, like Matt said. Although Michigan State does have Golson and Worthy and all those guys, Michigan does have pro players too. I mean, look at Alan Branch, look at Brandon Graham. Mm-hmm. They've got some pro potential there
but
too.
But were those guys brought up by this staff? No.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, that's
Coach Prestige, yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, but
I see that.
That's just one aspect, there's pro potential.
Mm-hmm.
Third is...
And looking at his highlight tape, he definitely has pro potential.
Third is the campus and team lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Whether... You like the town, you like the team, you like the players and whatnot. And that coaching prestige, that has to do with raising them and the records and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, aside from coach prestige setting it apart, I think that the other two big things for me are the other two values are probably national attention. I mean, is this a BCS caliber team? Is this a lower Big Ten standing team?
Right.
And then if I had to pick, I think my fifth one would probably have to be coaching experience. I mean, look at how many connections certain coaches have, and outside of it, how about the academic scene?
Narduzzi. So, I mean, you get to play for Narduzzi.
Right.
I mean, come on, man.
And Sean Shayer said the Clarabelle Smith Academic Center is second to none.
Mm-hmm.
So Those for me are my big five. And when you look at those five, it's the two that set it apart. It's the coaching prestige, and it's definitely probably more of the academic side of it.
Yeah, and I tell you what, recruiting. If I was a recruiting coordinator, man, I would probably be. I couldn't be a recruiting coordinator, just to be honest with you guys, because I mean it's so frustrating because these kids, like I always say, I mean they change their minds at the drop of a hat, at the drop of a dime, and you never know. I mean, there's so many. I mean, you listed the top five. I mean, there's so many more to encompass that whole thing that you never know what a kid is thinking about. So I'm definitely proud of Malik though for standing up and saying, "Hey, I'm making a decision," and it's good to hear that his dad definitely supported him in that decision. So. Wow, only 5 minutes left. We just did a whole – I never thought in my wildest dreams I would ever do an entire show on recruiting. Oh, boy. Wow. Okay. Well, really quickly, guys. Trace McGrady, just quick thoughts. Trace McGrady, a former Pistons guard, has decided to dip and dabble on the diamond and play some baseball for a minor league team. Interesting stuff to say the least. And we talked about Russell Wilson, who also, you know, was rumored to possibly dip and dabble in that game as well. We've seen countless other athletes do it. Bo Jackson, he's just a freak of nature. That's another story there. Michael Jordan, who of course tried it. I mean, just looking at this whole thing, I think, you know, and Matt talked about it, Tracy might just be bored and might just need a paycheck. I think that's what this whole thing is about right now, because we've seen athletes do this, especially those who are in financial binds, try just off the wall things. And I think, and looking at it though, Tracy was actually an analyst for NBA TV, which really, when I heard this story, I'm like, oh, that seems like some pretty change right there. But, you know, now he's trying this. I don't think he'll last, but I've never seen him play baseball. It's actually his first love. It's going to be interesting to see how this turns out.
It is going to be interesting. And you said he was a pitcher?
He's a pitcher.
I mean, he's 6'8".
Yeah.
I mean,
Roger Clemens gave him lessons yesterday. I listened to that.
Well, as long as it didn't include, you know, what kind of PED cycle
that's fine.
But as far as athletes trying to dabble in other sports, and it's tough to include McGrady in that group just because he's not playing basketball anymore. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be different if he was an active player. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, last year, what did he do, ride the Spurs bench to the finals?
Yeah, he did. It. I mean, he almost got a ring,
but he wasn't there. But when you look at athletes trying to do both sports, it takes a special, special athlete to do it. I mean, the last 20, 30 years, I mean, Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson, and that's it.
Yeah, and those are two. When you talk about Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson, I mean, those are supreme athletes.
Exactly.
Those guys were unbelievable. Incredible. Incredible.
Exactly. And most of the time, it just seems like guys kind of try it. It's a novelty thing.
Right.
And then they fall out. I mean, he's going to sell tickets at a minor league level. Absolutely. I would go see Tracy McGrady pitch. Absolutely. Yeah. But
maybe get an autograph.
As far as a serious thing, I mean, he's 34. He's no spring chicken. Unless he's Jamie Moyer, it's not like he's got 10 years left to play baseball.
Right, right.
For me, it's just kind of a novelty thing. If you're going
to
be...
Just to get a check, baby.
Yeah, kind of.
That's all it is.
And to stay in the limelight.
And to stay in the limelight. Alex.
Yeah, and I actually just looked it up. It's an independent league, so it is a minor league of sorts, but it's actually not even affiliated with Major League Baseball. So I think it's more of just a novelty, like you said. He's just kind of bored. He just wants something to do. It's not like Michael Jordan actually playing, double A played, single A, something like that?
I'll have to double check that. But yeah. White Sox affiliate, though.
Yeah, but it's not like he's actually playing for an affiliate. I mean, this is maybe a stepping stone. Maybe he thought in the back of his mind, hey, maybe I could get there one day.
I hope he does well. I wish him all the luck in the world. I used to be I thought at one point Tracy, in my opinion, was the best player in the league. Yeah. At one point he was. I thought he was. Especially,
it's definitely a curveball.
Oh, he was unbelievable.
Nice.
Very
nice, Alex.
I like that, Alex. It's pretty good.
But the thing that worries me quickly is, you know, Tracy McGrady never noted for his work ethic.
Never.
You know, that was one of the things. He was always one of the most talented, like bar none.
Yes.
Top five most talented player in the league during his playing days, never worked hard enough to consistently be that player.
Right, because he had those injuries, and, you know, you got to keep yourself, you know, you got to stay in shape. And Tracy was not known as the guy to work out in the locker room and do the extra things, and we'll see how that transitions now to the
diamond. Exactly, and clearly I'm going to guess that his talent in baseball is not quite what it was in basketball, so I don't know if he's going to work hard enough to ever get out of that independent league.
Right.
Either way, it's a fun story.
It's a great story. Good stuff. All right, guys. Again, I want to remind you all that Current Sports TV tapes tonight as I sit down with the president of the Lansing Curling Club, Mark McElwee. Yes, it was a great time. I got on the ice yesterday. Curling, guys, is pretty fun, I will say. I might find a new hobby. I don't know. All right. Well, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Stay warm out there. Don't fall on your butt like I did this morning, okay? Have a fantastic day and be easy, people.